Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Tonight we're going to continue to look at this hymn that we just sung, that we've been looking at for the entirety of the Lenten season, O Love, How Deep. And tonight we're going to focus on how the love of God in Christ means everything for us Christians. Oh, love, how deep, how broad, how wide. God's love means everything to us in Christ Jesus. And last week we heard how Jesus drives back the forces of Satan for us. But this week we're going to be confronted with what happens when we are the problem. And we are often the problem. Last week, Jesus drove a demon out of the man, but it seems as though Satan now has entered not one but two of Jesus' close disciples. Jesus teaches that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. There are two particular words, or one word and a phrase there in that sentence from Jesus that are important to us. Namely, the word suffer, and then the phrase to be betrayed, to be rejected. As part of Jesus' humiliation is that he suffers both of those things for us and also with us. His suffering is not necessarily simply that he's in pain or that he's hurt. Certainly Jesus felt that pain of the cross, that pain of the scourging, and he felt it for us. But it's not just that. It means that he endures the pain of another. It wasn't only his own pain that he was feeling, but the pain that we should have been feeling. He feels as we feel. He knows what it is that we're going through. Mark uses this word pasco here to talk about this. The English words compassion and sympathy are words that come out of that Hebrew word pasco. The author of Hebrews puts it this way, "For it was fitting that he for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering." Everything and everyone exists according to the Son of God. All things exist through him. So when Jesus works to bring us back to the gracious presence of his Father, our Father, he does so through suffering. Our salvation is made perfect. That is, our salvation is completed through the suffering of Jesus. But Jesus' suffering isn't simply that he hurts as we hurt. It's not just that he is like us, although it's true that he is like us. That's what the incarnation is all about, Jesus coming into this world to be one of us. His suffering comes specifically as a result of the world's rejection of him as the Son of Man. In many ways, Jesus' journey throughout the Gospel of Mark is the story of his rejection. City after city, town after town, group after group rejects him, but not because he's done something wrong, or because he's evil, or because he's sinned in some way. It's far from that. They reject him because he is good and holy and righteous in every way. For that reason, they reject him. Tonight, though, this rejection takes an even darker turn. Both Peter's and Judas's betrayals are predicted in Mark chapter 8. They were two of the 12, as we know. Peter was one of the three members of Jesus' inner circle, one of Jesus' nearest, his closest friends. And that betrayal cuts the deepest of all. Because that's the suffering that comes only from love. One of the most dangerous things about love, and any of you who have ever loved or been loved know this, one of the most dangerous things about love is that it makes you vulnerable. When you love another person, you are, in effect, giving that person permission to hurt you. You've opened yourself up in a way that now that person is much closer, much more able to hurt you. The closer you are to a person, the more that they're able to do that. And that's why Peter's betrayal of Jesus cuts so deeply. Three times he denies Jesus in the face of enemies. And Judas? Well, Judas betrays Jesus all the way to death. Judas takes Jesus when he's most vulnerable, most exposed, and he betrays the Son of Man with a kiss. Yet remember that even when Jesus is betrayed, and when he's delivered into the hands of sinful men, he permits it because of his great love for you. And we hear this in stanza 5 of the hymn that we just sung. For us by wickedness betrayed, for us in crown of thorns arrayed, he bore the shameful cross of death, for us he gave his dying breath. Imagine now the scene that's laid out before us. Jesus, betrayed by Judas into the hands of sinful men, is now arrayed in a crown of thorns. And imagine that, pressing that crown of thorns onto his head, the mere thought of it being placed there makes us cringe. Then the very cross upon which he's going to be crucified is placed on his back. He literally bears it. That is, he carries it to Golgotha, the place of the skull. And it's there that our Lord gives up his dying breath. The one who first breathed life into all of creation now breathes his last. The one by whom all things are made and given life is unmade, and he dies. He's rejected by both his friends and his enemies alike. And yet, even then, in his very last breath, he gives. He gives his dying breath so that you may have life breathed into you again. That is, my friends, at the very heart and soul of what Christianity is. This is the essence of love, that God, our God, would love us to the end, and by that end, by his death, would take us from this valley of sorrows to himself in heaven. But in order to get through this valley of the shadow of death, he must lead the way. He must die, so that when he rises from the dead, he is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, as St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians. Tonight, we've heard how Jesus has died upon the cross, and how on that cross he paid for our salvation. As you prepare for Holy Week, as you think about these things, as these things are what's laid before you over this next week and a half, repent and remember that God, who does all things for you and who gives you his dying breath, will always be there for you. We're going to hear this again on Good Friday, of course, but it's worthy of our meditation more than once during this season, because this is at the very heart of our faith, that we have a Savior who lived and died so that we might truly live. We have a Savior who loves us so much that he endured the cross for us, We have a Savior who was betrayed not just by Peter and by Judas, but by each and every one of us through our sins. And yet a Savior who gave up his very last dying breath so that we might have life. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.